This is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. I'm just not sure it's appropriate for me to wish you a happy Valentine's Day, but if it is, I will. We are glad that you're here, and of this day when our world celebrates love between sweethearts, our choir in just a moment is going to sing for their special a song you know so well. You learned it, some of it, when you were a child, more than likely. And it reminds us of our love for God. And that is indeed what we have come to do on this day. Would you pray with me? Lord, we are delighted that you are in our midst. And we are in your presence. And when the redeemed come before you, our holy God, you give us power for living, power for parenting, power for doing our relationships between husbands and wives, every family dimension. You give us strength for living next door to people and going to work and going to school and being all that you've created us to be. You have a plan for our life to share your love. And thank you that worship helps us do that better. Would you now be with us, Lord? Many of us are here every Sunday. This is our place of worship. But Lord, sometimes you bring new folks to us, and we're so delighted you do that. We ask your blessing upon all. And our prayer would be in this moment, as we have gathered here, that you would speak to us. Give us a word. Give us a thought. Impress upon us as we sing the songs of the faith, as we pray together, and as we hear your word. Speak to us. For we need to hear your voice, that we might follow you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
One of the great hymns of our faith, When We All Get to Heaven, number 514. Let's stand as we sing.
Prepare for us a place when we all get together. Let's pray. Our most gracious Heavenly Father, we come to you today thanking you for all the blessings you have given us. Father, we ask that you might be with Gary today as he brings the message. Be with those that are sick, that need your healing hand. Be with those who've lost loved ones that need your soothing hand. Father, we ask that you might bless these tithes and offerings to further thy kingdom. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Morning. Got a nice group this morning. Y'all look so nice and handsome and pretty. Talk about role models today. You have a role model, or do you know what that is? What is a role model? Do you know? Okay. Great. Someone who sets an example for you. That's exactly right. You respect that person, you admire that person, and you might want to be like that person in some way, hadn't you? Your role model might be a famous person. It might be a movie star or a great athlete. It could be someone you know personally, like your mom or dad, like your brother or sister, favorite teacher, grandparent, brother, sister. We all have role models, and you might not even realize that you have a role model, but you do. I have some pictures here I want to show you and see if you recognize these. Who is this one? Anna, that's right. This might be a role model for you. Who is this? George Washington. Who was he? First president, that's right. Okay, who is this one?
The Big Bad Wolf.
The Big Bad Wolf, that's right. You think he would be a good role model? No, I don't either. How about this one? Who is that one? Michael Jordan. He was a great what? Basketball player. That's right. Do you think one of these would be, one of these characters or people is probably very rich, has lots of money. Would that be the reason to be a role model for you, Casey?
No.
No. How about one that's really, really mean? The big bad wolf? No, that wouldn't be good. So we have to be careful who we choose for a role model. If we choose someone just because they're wealthy or rich, it might not turn out so well, had it. That's not a good way to choose a role model. Well, let me tell you something. If you're looking for a role model, this book right here has a wonderful role model for you. Best role model in the whole world. Let's read a part of a scripture for you. This is from Ephesians 5, 1 through 2. Listen to what it says. It says, "Be imitators of God. Therefore, as dearly loved children, and live a life of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and a sacrifice to God." That says that Jesus is our role model. He is perfect. He was sent here to save us. He is a perfect role model. What are some of the things, characteristics that Jesus has that make him a perfect role model? Okay? Okay. Jesus loves us all, doesn't he? He's loving. He's kind. He's tenderhearted. He's forgiving. He's patient. He's obedient. He's respectful. He's trustful. Those are wonderful characteristics because God's Son is perfect. He brings salvation to all who choose and obey him. So when you choose your role model, think about Jesus. He was the perfect one. Since it's Valentine's Day today, I have a Valentine for you. When we get through with our prayer, I'll give it to you. And it says on the Valentine that Jesus is the light of the world. If you will be obedient to God, you can be a light of the world too. Okay? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for sending your Son to bring salvation and to be a perfect role model to everyone. We ask you to bless these children that they understand that you are the light of the world. In thy name we pray. Amen. Okay.
As the children are coming back, if you'll get your the insert in your bulletin out, we're going to sing "The Light of the World is Jesus." Let's stand as we sing.
you would, look at your bulletins and you'll see we have some concerns there. These are our assignment for this week. I know that Bill Cotton had a fall this past Monday and is suffering from some cracked ribs, and he's here with us, and we want to keep him in our prayers. Anna Phillips is home recuperating from surgery. We want to continue to remember Anna in our prayers. And Heather is home, also recuperating from surgery this week. We want to keep them lifted up. You see the names, especially those that lost loved ones. We want to be remembering them. Pray with me. Our God, our Creator, our Lord, our Master, our direction, our hope, our strength, our Redeemer, our Savior, the great physician, the comforter, the all in all, the first and the last, you are our God. Your qualities strengthen us in the midst of the storms of life. And as we find true joy, we find it in you. Hear the requests that we have lifted to you, O God, and bless them as you know they have need. And then, God, would you speak to us today that we too might be imitators of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, in how we live, and how we think, and how we love. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Toe tapping and a little bit of singing along is allowed in this.
Since Jesus came into my heart.
Well, if we just focus there, since Jesus came into our heart, changes everything, doesn't it? Thank you, choir. Open your Bibles with me to Matthew's Gospel as we continue our discussion of good habits. We've talked about the good habit of worship and the good habit of prayer and the good habit of surrounding yourself with good companions. And today, we're going to see that every disciple of Christ understands that we have to have the habit of being a good example. It's interesting when we read this passage from the Sermon on the Mount where Jesus was talking to disciples, to those that were of the faith, those that would ultimately carry the faith into the birth of the church in just a little while. In verse 13 of Matthew chapter 5, he doesn't say you ought to, or you should, or if possible. He says we are. And then in verse 14, he says we are. Interesting how strong Jesus makes this call for disciples to be light, to be salt. It's a passage you know by heart. The last part of the verse will remind us of our call to be that good example. If you're able, would you stand as a way of honoring the reading of God's Word? Matthew chapter 5, we're going to read verses 13 through verses 16. You are the salt of the earth, but if salt has lost its taste, how shall its saltiness be restored? It's no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled under people's feet. Some have said that's a pothole filler. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. May God add his blessing to the reading and hearing of his most holy word. Would you pray with me? Lord, would you speak to us clearly today about being an example, about being salt and light and a mirror for others to see you in us. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Our hymn of decision is page 515, if you want to mark that for the conclusion of our service. Joe Craig of Tucson, Arizona, was nearly 4 years of age. He was well behaved, except he had one bad habit. I bet others of us have his bad habit. He hated to wear shoes. He didn't like shoes. They would put them on him as a small child and put him in the car, and before they could fasten their seat belt in the front seat, his shoes would be off. He didn't like to wear shoes. And as he grew, he never seemed to be able to break that habit. And now at age 4, they were going to be sending him to vacation Bible school for the first time. And they were so afraid that he would be Barefoot Joe at VBS. And so they made him promise, wear your shoes, keep your shoes on. You've got to tell us, you've got to wear your shoes. And for a long time, Joe didn't want to enter that deal. Why? He would ask. Why? I don't like shoes. I don't like shoes. But finally, Joe made the commitment. Okay, I'll wear my shoes all the time during vacation Bible school. But as soon as I get home, they're coming on. Deal. Deal. Mom and Dad, deal. But you know how we moms and dads are. We still wonder. And we knew this habit. I mean, this was a habit. Sometimes those shoes came off as though maybe he didn't even know he was taking them off. But it was the final night of VBS when they realized Joe had kept his word and broken that bad habit. And the way they know was when they went to see the crafts. There in one section were hanging 11 plaster plaques of children's feet and one little plaque of Joe's hands. He wouldn't take his shoes off. Good for Joe. A good habit can replace a bad habit. Today, I wonder if we're forming those discipleship habits that can change everything. Jesus has given, I guess, maybe his three greatest illustrations, or you might say two, salt and light. Oftentimes in my prayer, I can understand what that means. I understand the value of salt, and I understand the power of light. And when that applies to our Christian walk, it can help us greatly. Well, let's talk for a moment about salt. Why would that be a good example? For us to be a good example, to be salt-like Christians, to be salt Christians. I've known Sunday school classes called the salt class. Salt-like faith. Let me ask you a question. Anybody here have a birthday this month, the month of February? How many of you got an envelope from me? I see hands going up. Well, we have a tradition. It's a time we can pause and pray for you at our house. We use your birthday as an opportunity to do that. And so my wife, she gets together and she does all the envelopes. She puts your name and address on there. She puts our return address and she puts the postage on there. And then on the right-hand side, she signs our card, Happy Birthday, God Bless, Gary, Lunette, and Becky. And she leaves the other side blank. And then as it comes close to your birthday, I take that card and I usually write you a little note. Some of you may have gotten one of those cards before. But not those of you in February. Because as February came around, my wife had done her due diligence. She had done all the cards. She had them ready and she handed them to me. But she also handed me 30 other cards that she was sending out from her Sunday school class. And so I put the two piles together. Now, some of you are already getting ahead of me and your heads are shaking. And you're right. You're exactly right. And when I came to the office, Kathy had some things to do. And I said, well, I got to go. And I had already done three cards. Three cards. Now, three or four of you got cards with cards in them. Envelopes with cards in them. But the rest of you didn't. Because in those piles, I ended up putting all the cards that should have been done later in the pile of those that were going, and so I sent them all. And our wonderful post office, don't you think that person must have said, I believe he messed, they were in a rubber band. Somebody should have said, this, he didn't mean to do this, but they didn't. And the cards weren't in the envelopes, but the right postage was on the envelope, so you got the envelope. Happy birthday. Retaining value. You got an envelope. Is that good? Salt in ancient times had value for many reasons. Seasoning, preservation, worship. It was talked about for hospitality. They put it on the sacrifices before they would offer them. They talked about the salt covenant, which meant that you and I had a warm relationship. Some places it even had value in barter. But only if it retained its value. Now, should we have any chemist here, you might say, salt's always salt. And you're right. You can't break it down. It is what it is. But You need to be aware that in ancient times, especially where Jesus lived, there was a sea. You may have heard of it. It's called the Dead Sea. Some call it the Salt Sea. And they say that I've never been there, but they say it's so thick you could almost walk on it. You can't quite, but you can. The salt is so thick. And what they would do is they would go and gather great portions of that water and put it in a pit. And evaporation, once they got it away from the Dead Sea, the evaporation would take place and what was left would be salt. And they used that salt. But sometimes you might go and get a pot and fill your evaporation pot up, but you didn't get the pure salt. You got the impurities that were also in the Dead Sea. You got less than the salt. Oh, it looked like salt. It felt like the same kind of stuff until you tasted it or you tried to preserve something with it. That's the salt that's lost its taste or lost its qualities. Salt and impurities, they come and they can sometimes change everything. Impurities in our life, they can take away our ability to be a salt witness, can't they? Salt's used for something else in this world. In our world, it wasn't used in their world. And we may see some of it tomorrow. You know what we use salt for? And have you been behind one of those trucks from the state with a sprinkler system in the back? Just a word of wisdom. Back way off if you see that truck. Back way, way, way off. Because what they're doing, and last I heard this week, they had already spent $37 million in North Carolina grinding the roads, mixture of salt and water, and they spray it on the roads. And you know why they spray it on the roads, right? You understand. Because it is to lessen the effect of the ice and the snow. You may remember a few years ago, especially in the Raleigh area, where just a little thin layer of ice came right at the time school was about to let out. And some kids actually didn't get to go home from school that day because that thin layer of ice without salt had made the roads impassable. Had stopped traffic, had stopped the daily life, had stopped everything. I saw on the news last night in some other area where there'd been this tremendously horrible wreck out on the interstate due to ice. Ice is like sin in our world. It sometimes is very thin. It doesn't seem like very important, but oh, a thin layer of ice over a life, sin ice over a life can cause you to slide out of control and slide into others and do great damage. Salt, the salt that Jesus calls you and I to be, it's our job not to be condemning, but to open the ways up. Spiritual salt can penetrate the icy sin in our life and give us traction for life's journey. Are we being salt? Oh, I want you to think for just a moment of how God has blessed Flat Springs Baptist Church, how wonderfully we've been blessed. I just don't know of too many churches that have more blessing than Flat Springs. We have been blessed by God Himself, I do believe. Now I must ask us, in light of that blessing, what does God want us to do in this time, at this point in our history? What would God want from us? No, that's a question I ask myself every day. I hope you ask yourself that question every day. I want us to understand that we are to be salt, that this community needs our salt. This community needs the love of Christ. It needs what God can do. It needs salt that can bring flavor. It needs salt that can preserve eternally. It needs salt that can take away the iciness of sin and give traction. You and I are called to be salt. And then we're called to be light, that revealing of the visibility, to be able to see. It's wonderful to be able to see, isn't it? We all remember times when the darkness was out and maybe we were by candlelight or maybe we were by some other kind of artificial lamp that we had, and then the lights came back on, and how wonderful that is. Light can make things in an area that are unseen in the darkness become visible. There's danger in the darkness. You ever been driving in your car and the lights went out on a dark road? There's danger in darkness. Light can reveal and point the way and provide us what we need to see. There's an old story told. The man, his job was to go out on the tracks because the bridge had been damaged, and they positioned him there strategically because trains would be traveling. And it was his job in this time to take a lantern. You've seen those lanterns, some with oil and some even with candles. And the object was to hold the lamp and to give the signal that every conductor would recognize and realize to stop his train. But for some reason, it didn't happen. The train went right past him, and his light. His lamp was there. He was there. But the train went off the bridge. There was a trial. There was a great investigation. And during the trial, they thought the man must have been missing in action. He must not have done his job. And so they brought him into court, and the judge asked him, he said, "Were you on duty that night that the train had the accident?" To which the man replied, "Yes, sir, I was." "Did you have your lamp with you?" To which he replied, "Yes, sir, I did." "And did you wave your lamp as you were taught to do?" To which he replied, "Yes, sir, I did." And so the judge said, "It must have been the conductor's fault." And he let the man go. Later, as the man went home, he told one of his friends, "I'm glad the judge didn't ask me if my lamp was on." If my lamp was on. Can you see that image of not being able to get the light and standing in the right place at the right time in the right position with the right understanding, but no light? No light. No light because of, gosh, each of us could fill in our own blanks. Why is our light out? Have we put enough prayer oil in our lamp? Are we fanning the flames of our lamp with enough spiritual oxygen that it might burn and burn brightly? Finally this morning, not only are we to live in a place and a time that we have that retaining value of salt and that revealing visibility of light, but look at that last verse. He says, "Let your light so shine before others so that they may see your good works, your deeds, your life, your way, that you're their example, and give glory to your Father who is in heaven." It's important that we want to reflect the virtue of God. Well, it's Valentine's Day, so let me give you a Valentine's Day story. A man knew it was that day, and so he thought it'd be nice to buy his wife something. So he goes to the department store, and he says, "I'd like to get some perfume." She says, "This bottle right here costs $100. He says, "Oh, that's a little high." She brings him another and says, "This one is $50. He says, "No, that's still more than I really was wanting to put in it." She brings another. "It's $30, getting smaller and smaller and smaller. No, $30, that's still a little more than I wanted to pay." So finally she brings him the smallest bottle she has. She says, "This one is $15. He says, "You know, I really want to see something cheap." So she hands him a mirror. Yeah, that's a silly little story, isn't it? But I wonder if when my neighbor says, I want to see Christ, and I want to see him reflected in your life, in your words, in your deeds, in your actions. I want to follow you and do like you do. You say, now wait a minute, preacher, we know Jesus is the example. We're not the example. Really? You said it right. And Martha brought us a tremendous children's sermon using that passage that we're to be imitators of Christ. That is our example. Amen. 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 That is our example. But brothers and sisters, someone has said, and they have said rightly, the only Christian someone will ever really know is you and me. And they will base a lot of what they do or don't do based on you and me. I don't like that responsibility, but it's ours. Disciples. Disciples of Jesus Christ. Those who have said he is Lord of our life and master of our life and the king of our life. You know, a birthday card, what folks really want on their birthday. Envelopes are nice. And you got to have postage stamps on them or they won't be delivered. But without the message, they don't do it, do they? Jesus said, you, Flat Springs Baptist Church, Gary McCullough, put your name there if you're a disciple. You're the salt of the earth. Don't lose your saltiness. You won't be good for anything as far as the kingdom is concerned. And you, Gary, you, Flat Springs, you put your name there. You're the light of the world. And then he said, in the same way, Gary, Flat Springs Baptist, you put your name there. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. This morning, you and I are examples. We can call our neighbor and say, hey, don't watch me. Don't follow what I do. Don't go like I go. Don't say what I say. Don't pray like I pray. Don't worship like I worship. Don't study the word like I study the word. Do it the right way. And your neighbor will say, no, I just watch you. I just watch you. You love him, don't you? He's your Lord, right? He's changed your life. Isn't that what you tell me? You're different because of him in your life. I just watch you. That's a powerful word from our Lord. Challenge. It's an opportunity. Are we retaining the value of our faith? Are we revealing the image of God by our choices? And are we reflecting his love through our deeds? That's a disciple who, like Job, kept his shoes on when he said he would. He developed a good habit. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, this morning, the world needs salt. Sin is slippery. icy and dangerous. The world needs light, for evil lurks in the darkness, seeking to devour whoever it may find. And we need mirrors. First, to look in our own life to see if we are too cheap in our faith and in our practice and in our walk with you. And then, God, when we deal with that, to reflect to others. Oh, God, you have blessed us at Flat Springs for such a time as this, to stand in the midst of a world that is lost, and to be salt, and to be light, and to be a mirror. Forgive us where we failed. Encourage us this day that we might take so seriously our call to be good disciples of yours with good habits, that we might indeed allow our deeds, our good works, to point others to you, that they may glorify your name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Our hymn of decision is page 515. There is a land that is fairer than day. This morning, if God is speaking to your heart and you need to make some decision, public or private, between you and God, then we encourage you, we challenge you, we beg you to do that. And as we sing this great hymn, mindful of God's blessing, since Jesus came into my heart, I've got joy, joy, joy. Would we make sure as we leave this place, we are committed to our God, to our church, to each other, that we shall be salt and light for a world that has lost its taste and gropes in the darkness, as we stand together. Before we leave, let me remind you there are a couple of things. I hope you're looking at the bulletin. The RA and GA Pinewood Derby is this Friday at 6 o'clock, and we'll look forward to having a good time, and we'll race till the wee hours of the morning if it takes it. But we're hoping by 9 o'clock we'll be done. But we've got over 30 cars out, so we're excited about having a good time. If you want to come to the races, you don't have trouble parking, we don't charge you a lot of money, and it won't be as loud as a NASCAR event. Come on Friday and watch the kids race. We have a fun time doing that. Also, this Saturday is our annual sled day. We're looking forward. We still have sign-ups over in the atrium if you'd like to be a part of our chili cook-off. And if you don't want to be a part of the chili but you want to bring some soup, we'll let you do that because we're going to eat everything at the end of the sledding time. We're going to start at 9:30. And again, thanks to the Children's Committee for all the work that they have done. Next Sunday is our WMU Focus Sunday, and we are looking forward to that, ladies. The men will be fixing breakfast, and we haven't lost a lady yet, so come on. It'll be good, and we're going to have a good time. Men will be meeting at 8:30 as well, and so then our ladies will be going for choir and then leading us in worship next Sunday. We're looking forward to that. And then we also have a sign up for our wild game dinner that's March the 12th. And if you could help us with desserts, or you could help us with a wild game dinner. It's too early to be looking for roadkill. Don't do that yet. But a little bit later, that'd be okay. Look forward to that time of sharing with each other. And I'm praying this year God would use that wild game dinner as an opportunity to do some spiritual outreach. So I hope you'll pray with me about that, that God will use the message and the time together, that we might find someone who would come to eat that kind of food, that we might share the manna of heaven when they come. So, and hope you'll come and be a part. And yes, we do have chicken for those who'd rather have chicken, just so you know. Any other announcements we need to share? And now, as we leave this place, may we do so in God's peace, in God's power, and in God's abiding presence, that we might be his people in the midst of all his people. Would you pray? God, as we go with us. Restore our saltiness and brighten our light, that we might shine before others and point them to you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Serve the Lord.